Lord, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for being in our midst today. Bless us to minister your word exactly how you'd have us do it. Lord, bless the whole service today and everyone that ministers. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
This weekend, Mary asked me to minister the Fresh Start today. And I got a message, and it reminded me of the kind of messages I used to get a long time ago. And let's turn over to 2 Samuel. I had it earmarked. 2 Samuel 22. This is when David counted the people.
He delivered them out of the hands of all his enemies. All his enemies.
Maybe 20. Thought I had a list. Here it is. I'm sorry. So, 2 Samuel 24. It reads, "And again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, Go number Israel and Judah. For the king said to Joab, the captain of the host, which was with him, Go now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people. And Joab said unto the king, Now the Lord thy God add to the people, how many soever they be, an hundredfold, and that the eyes of my lord the king may see it. But why doeth my lord the king delight in this thing? Notwithstanding the Lord the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captains of the host. And Joab and the captains of the host went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel." Now the captains of the host and Joab was trying to get David not to do this. And but David was adamant about it. The Lord had to, he wanted to cut Israel short because when the Lord made that covenant with Abraham and they sealed the deal when Abraham offered his only begotten son, Isaac, the son of promise, that sealed the covenant, and the Lord would do whatever it took to protect the covenant. And the Lord saw something in Israel that was forming, and he had to do something against it. So David was adamant about numbering the people. And what this can do, the way I saw it, when anything you do, you have to see God. You should never take your eyes off him. Numbering the people could be a temptation for him to look at the people. And the message the Lord gave me is this: how do you see what you're looking at? How do you see what you're looking at? And this turn, you know, the Lord had to work against him. He gave him three choices: either people would die in war, famine, or pestilence. And the Lord and David threw himself on the mercy of the Lord. It's like the song.
It's a God.
and the angel went out and took out some people. And David was praying that it'll stop. He gave God an offering. Now, our focus is, this is a lesson about focus. How do you see what you're looking at? When the Lord does something and we're involved with it, we have to look at him. Once we change our focus from him to something else, everything kind of stops. When you begin with faith, is you know it's important to you can't pull it off unless you look at him, unless you see him, and we do that by regarding his word. What did his word say? Remaining in his will, keeping his will first above our own, above the distractions of Satan. Above temptations of pride, lust, and envy, and things like that. But when we continually see him, we conquer. We always win. And I've seen a lot of churches, they'll grow and then they'll change. Because when the focus is shifted from God to the people, it's not going to work. It's not going to be what God intended. Even if it's impressive to people, you know, an impressive work does not mean it's an obedient work. The only way a work can remain obedient, you have to focus on the Lord and change when he changed. As we study the book of Acts, I believe the Lord is going to bring this back to the church. Because I listen to people talk, but the ones who focus on the Lord, they're the ones who hit the mark. Pastor said he likes to be sensitive to what the Lord is doing. It's so easy to get off on a tangent. And people come up with tangents all the time. People, you know, they think it should be this way or that way. And sometimes it's Holy Spirit inspired and sometimes it's not. And sometimes it's a mixture. But to stay on point, you have to remain focused on him. David didn't have anybody to look to because he was the man on the top. He had counselors, he had the prophets, he had the priests, but he had to look to the Lord, and he had to go to the Lord in prayer. But some people think, well, I can do it by myself. Well, if you have to, you can. You can get so far by yourself. But when you have the priest and the prophet, we see David, he wandered off track a few times, and Nathan the prophet would come and talk to him, have a powwow, and we need that. In order to look at Jesus, we have to have our antennas out there. We have to have our radars on what the Lord is saying. Because every word that proceeds out of his mouth is the way we stay in balance. Jesus said, man shouldn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Primarily the written word, because that's the voice of the Holy Spirit.
And then he goes on to say, you know, Paul saying, you know, let your conversation be what becomes the gospel.
Yeah,
so that's right. What are we talking about? What out of words are we going to give account for?
That's the ones we heed that we shouldn't. But then the Holy Spirit within. We have the voice of the Holy Spirit within. And he's our guide. So what he says on the inside, you know, we have to regard it as we do the scriptures. And we use the scriptures to judge, and then the Holy Spirit helps us to judge the scriptures. Then we have the Holy Spirit upon. And that's, you know, the anointing that God gives us. The Holy Spirit upon us. We have the Holy Spirit within. That's for us, the well of living waters. Then we have the rivers of living waters to help us minister. And then we have the advice of our friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ. They have the Holy Spirit within and the Holy Spirit upon. And whenever an anointing speaks, that's the voice of God too. And that's the way we stay in balance. We have to, if we see him, we can win. And a friend of mine, he said that he likes it when people have a hard, like let's say they're having a bad day and they lash out at you. He said, I like when that happens. Because it gives the Holy Spirit a chance to help me minister to them when they need me the most. An irate argument, what do you see when you're looking at an irate argument? Is it a person that's against you, or is it a person in need that you can help by the Holy Spirit? It's all in the way you see it. And the Word of God helps us to do it. I was studying 1 Peter and 2 Peter and 3 Peter. Now that should be one chapter, but it's not. They divided it. And they divided it in the worst places they could divide. Because chapter 3 says, it starts off saying, likewise, you wives, be subject to your own husbands. Now, to some women, that's like a slap in the face, you know. But if you study what chapter 1 and 2 are saying, you're going to see them saying, likewise, honor your husband the way Jesus honored his father. laying his life down for the church. It all makes sense when you read the first two chapters together with it. And my wife, she's a hard worker. She'll do her job, and she's good at it. So every time every department she worked in, they overload her with work. And then other people to slack. And then she'll be end up doing the work of several people. And then she'd get tired of it, and then she'd leave and go to another department, and it'll happen again. And then she got tired of it and left it the third time, and it happened again. I said, you can't run from this. You got to deal with this. I said, don't do other people's work and minister to them. Use the wisdom that God give you to solve this problem. Because it keep, that's satanic. Satan using that to aggravate them. But to solve the problem, you're going to have to stop it at Satan. And don't let him do that. Because people are people. And the enemy know how to persuade people to do exactly what he want them to do. And you have to use the wisdom and judgment of God to deal with it. I say, you don't have to run, but you have to fight. And then we studied that scripture. And it teaches you to lay your life down, pray for them, and be a blessing to them. If you receive God's will and then do it, it works. And when the Lord taught me to love people, I said, this is the heart of God. I extremely wanted to be a person that walked in love, no matter what happened. And the Lord was teaching me, training me, and coaching me to do that. So when opportunities came, when people would be upset or off balance or frustrated, he gave me the wisdom to deal with the problem. And when you see him, everything changes. And people have gotten saved because of those prayers and because of the training and because of, doing God's word. Any problem you have, never let the problem become greater than God. Now that we, how the Lord said that, how do you see what you're looking at? If knowing that, the perfect answer is say, well, I'm gonna look to God, but that doesn't always happen. You have to stay in His presence to do it. But it's beautiful when it's done. Don't be condemned if you fail, because I've done it, most times when people talk about the testimony, they talk about the good side. Now I can talk about the bad side all day, just like I can talk about the good side. And sometimes I mention things that happen because people go through that. But if any time I failed and didn't do what God would have me to do, I would go back and regroup. Lord, how did that happen? How did I didn't have the courage to say what you wanted me to say, or I didn't do it this time. Why did I do that? I asked him why I did it. And then when he answered me, then I know how to mount up and take charge so next time it don't happen. And sometimes I say, Lord, I need you to train me. You want me to do something, I don't feel like I'm skilled yet, but I'm going to do it. I always confess, I'm going to do this. But sometimes you have to grow in order to repent. In order to really change something, you have to grow as a person. You have to
mature.
But when you mature, you can do it. We can do all things through Christ. And the Lord will take you places, and sometimes you'll find yourself doing something you normally wouldn't do.
But in order to take and do all things through Christ, you have to take that in context too. It says, think on the things that are lovely and good report.
Yeah.
You have to do that. It's a practice.
Uh-huh.
Then you can do all things through Christ. It's a process.
That's true. Perfectly put. Perfectly
I'm
put.
Learning.
Hey, you're learning good. That's how it works. Never be afraid of failure. Failure is just something that happened. But, sometime the enemy would pull a fast one on me. I didn't have the skill right at that time. But next time, it ain't going to happen. And I know. I learned a lot about fighting him from him because I learned his tactics. This is one I learned. If you have a weakness, he'll tempt you today. And if you don't
extinguish that fiery dart, he'll back off, leave it alone for months. And the weakness will still be there. You didn't deal with it. And then he'll set you up. And then he'll surprise you all at once. And there were times I had just enough strength to run or just enough strength to stand. And I said, and I thought about it. I always go back and think about it and regroup. I always did what I knew to do, but it would be something that would throw me off balance. I didn't deal with it. And when I got there, when I needed the strength, I didn't have it. But sometime I cry out to the Lord. This was when I was first starting to follow God. And I'd ask the Lord for help. And he'd give me wisdom that I could use with the strength that I had. And you'd win, you know. But it was a near miss. I don't like near misses. Near misses don't have to happen. People fall over near misses. When you get to the limit of your will, you need your will to be fortified. That I'm going to stand no matter what. Because you're not the only one that's going to fall if you fall.
And you can't meditate on none of that either. Mm-mm. You have to meditate on the word.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that's going to keep you from that temptation.
Yeah.
Because everybody's weak in an area.
Yeah. Even if you fall and get up, it still does damage because people are looking at you. People are counting on you. People believe God through you. They should believe God for who he is, but that's not how it works. The Lord uses our light to help others that are weak grow. And you don't want to shake anybody's faith. I didn't, and I wanted to follow God. And I meant business about it, but so what I did, if a temptation came, even if I didn't like it or I didn't think it bothered me, I'd still speak against it. And then anything that he would come, any suggestion, any fire dart, even if it wasn't a temptation to me, I'd rebuke it. And this, you know, that's just the wisdom of God. And then I say, Lord, now how do I fortify against this so I hate it? I want to hate everything that you hate, I want to hate. And I didn't trust myself to hate. I asked him to teach me how to hate it and all the details I need to hate. And then I turned around and said, I love your will. And those were two of my confessions. I hate the ways of Satan, all the ways of Satan, and I love all the ways of God. And I asked him to train me in whatever I had to do. So I don't like surprises. The proverb said, don't be afraid of sudden fear. So when something happened, I just choose not to be afraid of it. I choose to walk in peace. New Testament says, be anxious over nothing. And when I first read that scripture, where it caught my attention, I said, Lord, what if I hear bad news like my mother passing or something? He said, don't be anxious over nothing.
Mom
was
saying,
yeah.
Hmm? Yeah, I'll be a report.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. You stop thinking about
it. She was saying, she passed about a year ago.
My mother passed in 08, and man, I'm telling you what, I rejoiced because she got saved 1 year before she died.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But when you hear bad news, you don't have to be anxious. You have to be ready to use your faith. I don't want to be caught off guard. I want to be, you know, looking under Jesus at that moment. That's when people need you the most. In fact, that was a detective guy. He was in a head-on collision in Bessemer. And I like for everybody to pray for Captain Brown. The fireman told me he was coherent, and I've been praying for him yesterday. So I plead the blood over him.
Amen. When did that happen?
Late Friday night. And, you know, he went in the... A fireman called me to ask me about a car, and he told me about the wreck. So I believe that was God letting me know I need to be praying for him. So I'm believing God for his full recovery. And we all know he can heal. He's good at it.
I believe it.
You know, and when the way we process what we're looking at determines how we grow. Everything that in God, the way that God set things up, we grow step by step, precept on precept, line upon line. And as long as we're in faith, we're growing. We're going forward. We fortify our lives, and we come to the point where we can do greater works than Jesus did because we believe. As long as we stay in that condition, we're growing. And we don't have to know everything, but we do have to be prepared to operate in the anointing that he gives. Enough to where, with the anointing, you never want to go backwards. You all, the anointing is very progressive. And we need to progress more so that we can operate in it greater, so that it can actually multiply in our lives. And it opens the door for him to give us greater anointings. Nothing in God stays the same. When David went to give cheese to his brothers, while the men of Israel saw a giant, he saw the same thing they saw, but differently. He didn't see a giant. He saw an out of covenant, uncircumcised blasphemer.
Righteous anger rose up.
Yeah. And he was offended. And he did something. He also volunteered. He didn't see a giant. He saw the same thing. He saw a loudmouth that he was going to kill without armor and with rocks and slings.
So, five smooth stones.
Yeah.
The other four were his brothers.
And he took his head off. Literally. How do you see what you're looking at? When you see the Lord, in his presence, nothing's big. In his presence, you see yourself as being victorious in him. And I want to know, how do you live there? I asked the Lord, teach me how to live here. I want every moment of my day to be just like it is while I'm in your presence. And it didn't happen all at once, but it started happening. And I would get discouraged less and less and encouraged more and more. Things that used to bother me don't. And sometimes guys say, how do you do that? Because the light of God is noticeable. When the Lord do something on your life, it's noticeable. And people don't, it's peculiar. It's not something that a man can take credit for, because you get it from him. You get it from the Lord. When Balak, King Balak, saw the Israelites, people, to the pure, everybody's pure. To a conqueror, everybody's a conqueror. And when he was on the mountain looking down at the multitudes in the valley, he felt like he had to do something. He saw his demise. He saw his defeat by them. And his army couldn't handle him. So he went and got the prophet and said, hey, I want you to curse these people. And at first, Balaam did pretty good. He said, you can't curse them. Those people are blessed. He wouldn't even go with the men. And then he sent more noble people to get him to come. He sent them away too. And eventually he went with them. And the Lord point blank told him not to go with them. And you know the story about the donkey. The donkey saved his life. Now, he went. What was he looking at when he went? He stopped looking at God and started looking at the reward. He should have kept looking at the Lord and went to where they couldn't even find him. But he wasn't fortified enough to do that. And as they talked to him, his will got weaker. And then he gave in.
A weak constitution.
Yeah. And he was hijacked. He was taken captive by the will of Satan. And I noticed something that the Lord the angel stopped him. Then he said, "Go with me, but speak my words." And the Lord told Jesus told Judas, "Do what you do quickly." And I said, something's going on. And I thought about the revelation. The Lord wish you was either hot or cold. He desires, mostly he wants you to be hot for him. Or cold. Be his friend or his enemy. Since he decided to be his enemy, he gave him instructions. As you know.
But if you're playing both sides and everything, you know, that's where he'll spew you out.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't like both sides being played.
No. Either with him or against him.
You know, that line is being drawn down.
Yeah.
Right.
And Jesus drew it.
Amen.
He's the plumb line.
Amen.
If they don't get saved, they rejected him.
Boy, that's something.
Mm-hmm. So if he wouldn't, if you're not going to be on my side, you're going to be my enemy. He gave instructions. And it ended up being warning to Balak that these are blessed people. But Balak wouldn't turn. And he caught something. Balak caught something in verse 21, chapter 24. That's when he taught him how to do it. He said, there's no iniquity. Now, that's worthy of reading that.
I think the iniquity is actually a spirit, too.
Yeah.
A living in.
Numbers 24.
Numbers 24, yeah.
How do you see what you're looking at? Time? Okay.
Time.
Is it?
Yeah. All right. It's like 25
hours. Wow. Yeah,
23.
All right.
Good word. Hey, Miss Lady. How you doing this morning?
I'm blessed.
Holly.
That's
right.
Sorry.
That's right.
That's all. I didn't know. I thought it was 9:30.
I enjoyed it. Yeah. It may have been 23. Yeah, here it is. Let's close with this. He says, surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, Israel, no divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall, that's not it. But he was telling them that, that they did, that was no, they weren't sinning, and it taught Balak that that's what, you know, he got to get them in sin in order to conquer. And then in verse 20, chapter 25, you see the men in Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. So Balak figured out a way to conquer them, get them in sin, and then conquer them. By disobeying God, Balaam taught him how to get a stronghold against Israel. But in chapter 30, Moses, there was a war, and the soldiers killed Balaam because of his sin. What do you see? How do you see what you're looking at? Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. Bless the food that we're about to receive for the nourish and strengthen our bodies. And bless us, continue to bless us with your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.